Chema. So we continue with Collected Works of the Mother, Volume 15. And as always, it's a difficulties. It's like a sheer sagar. So I don't know where to pick up from, what to leave. But we are doing this selection. So idea is that we pick up from here and there, but with the idea that one day we take the complete prasad of Kshirsagar. Kshirsagar is the ocean of milk. Milk is knowledge, but sweet knowledge, full of sweetness and delight. So knowledge which is full of delight is Kshirsagar. So this is literally Kshirsagar, in which whether we swim or drown, it's wonderful. Kshirsagar is the ocean of milk on which Lord Vishnu is sleeping on a white mountain or on a white piece of land. Sweta Dweep, that's how it is called. On the couch of infinite time, Anantanag. So there is a very interesting question. This is from a conversation of 30th January 1951. And the question is an emotion always a vital movement? Because this is a practical question, because emotion can be vital and emotion can be moved by the deeper psychic impulse. So there is very often a mixture. For instance, bhakti can be very vital and bhakti can be deep from the psychic. It is the seat. Actually, same with love. So how to differentiate? It's a practical question. So the mother says it depends on the emotion and it also depends on what you call an emotion. For example, there is a state where if you find yourself in the presence of a very precise, very clear psychic movement, a distinctly psychic movement, that happens quite often. We miss it. That she's not saying. So what is the sign that we are in the presence of a clearly psychic movement? She says something very interesting, and this is important to remember, because there have been people even in the ashram who told me just the opposite, and I had to tell them, no, this is not true. Because they were misquoting a letter. There is a letter of Sri Aurobindo, and the letter is about tears in the eyes. So there is a letter of Sri Aurobindo. This is with regard to vital emotions, that if you have tears in the eyes, you cannot contain emotions and you end up crying. But psychic emotion bringing tears to the eyes is a different thing. So the mother is saying, a distinctly psychic movement, this happens quite often. The emotion is so powerful that tears come to your eyes. Talking of psychic emotion. So what happens? Psychic is right behind the emotional being, so it presses on the emotional being. Now from the emotional being, the connection of tears is already there in the body. So, and it is meant originally as a kind of catharsis, because human beings are very limited containers. Thoughts we cannot contain for long. That's why people have to chatter. Unless they, what is called as chit-chat, gossip, chatter, throw out the mental energy, they cannot. This is very quite common, quite universal. Mother even cautioned about here. Because the container is small, so there is a need to chatter. By chatter, I mean that meaningless gossip. What's going on here, there in the world. Similarly, our vital energy is, vital container is very small. So any vital energy which comes in, it makes us restless. So we have to do something. Anything. Just for the sake of restlessness. Because the container is small. Similarly, when the emotional container is small, we react. Joy, tears, this is the pathway. But these are not tears he is referring to. These are psychic tears. When deep inside you feel a deep psychic feeling which is stirring us, the presence of the divine, the gratitude for the divine. Many times even watching some of these, it's very interesting. It's not like being a, okay, for me like mother is everything. But if I watch on, portions of Ramayana, even earlier I have watched, even now a casual serial where there is, you know, something of Shri Krishna or Shri Rama or a deep inner movement, the tears come up. It's because it's very close, but there is nothing wrong with these tears. So there is a difference between the two. So she says, it's a sign. The emotion is so powerful that tears come to your eyes. You're not sad. You're not happy. It's another feeling altogether. It's just a sense of divine. There's so many people, as a children we have grown up, the story of Kevat. It's not happening in our life, you know. Even now if I relate. So many times we have heard and we have shared that when Lord Rama asked Kevat, I must give you something. Please take. He says, we have the same profession. I don't want to take anything from you. But we can make an exchange offer. I am carrying you across this river. You carry me across the Bhavsagar. Now this is so evocative. It's not about me or him or someone else. But deeply evocative. That what is the ultimate transaction human beings have with the divine? And it reminded me of a story which mother spoke to, said to Dhyuman Bhai. Several of her stories are like that. She was cleaning the balcony because some crow had the droppings. And Dhyuman Bhai ran and said, Mother, I will do it, I will do it. Why are you doing it? She said, My child, this is nothing. Every day I have to cleanse the human consciousness of so much dirt. The divine does it without a word. So divine, the teardrop in the eyes of the divine, there's a whole thing. It's a psychic emotion. You are not sad, you are not happy, neither one nor the other. It doesn't correspond to any particular feeling, but it is an intensity of emotion which comes from something that is clearly, precisely psychic. The urge to give oneself. It's a clearly psychic feeling for the toward the divine. So it is not happiness or sadness. That's what she is. It's not when you are too happy and sometimes tears come. It's not because we are sad inside that tears are coming. There is something called a psychic sadness, but that's a different subject. Psychic sadness is when the psychic sees that how the mind and vital are fooling themselves. There is something called as a psychic sadness. That there is such a beautiful possibility, but the mind and the vital are fooling. Then psychic feels sad, and that's when it can experience things like vairagya, detachment, because it sees that, you know, connecting with the earth is so difficult. But it is an intensity of emotion. It may be in yourself, but it is even more often in someone else. When you are in contact with an act, a movement, a manifestation which belongs to the psychic, then all of a sudden the eyes are filled with tears. And that I feel these serials did a lot of good, at least personally I can say, especially the first Ramayana which had come. It had so much psychic feelings which were evocative. It is not about whether everything is there in Valmiki Ramayana or not. Valmiki is a different rishi, he is coming from above. But Tulsidas has added the psychic touch. And it used to evoke those deepest feelings from deep inside. So it says it's not in you but around you which evokes it. Whereas emotions are about me. Somebody told me something and I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling sad about it. It's not egoistic feeling. It's something which you see and it moves you. It may be in yourself, but it is even more often in someone else. If you call that an emotion, obviously it is an emotion. But usually it comes from one thing. The physical being has a not very conscious but very intense longing for a contact with the psychic life. It feels poor, destitute, isolated and abandoned when it is not in contact with the psychic being. This is the original meaning. Seen this way, all of us are anath. I mean, most human beings, orphans. And that's the feeling which we try to fill up. I think the tragedy of life is that when these things arise, we try to fill up with others. But this is a very deep feeling of feeling lonely. It's because something is missing, that original presence. But we try to fill up. And when we fill up for some time, we are happy. Then if God's grace is on us, we start feeling sad because something happens. But if divine says, okay, let this life be spent in toys, then we just continue. That's a different story altogether. So, it feels poor. Not one physical being in a million is aware of this. But this kind of impression of being lost, very true. These I encounter so many people. And the solution is find your psychic being. Find the divine presence within. Repeatedly Mother says, if you are feeling these feelings, try to find this contact. Whatever else you will do, including coming to the ashram, that's not going to help. You have to discover. Because wherever you will go, the same problem will come. So what is that psychic feeling of kind of emotion? But usually it comes from one thing. The physical being has a not very conscious but very intense longing for a contact with the psychic life. It feels poor, destitute, isolated and abandoned when it is not in contact with the psychic being. Not one physical being in a million is aware of this. But this kind of impression of being lost, left hanging, without protection, without support, of lacking something and not knowing what it is. Something you don't understand, but which you lack. An emptiness somewhere. Well, this comes more often than one thinks. People have no idea what it is. But then, when for some reason or other this consciousness suddenly comes into contact with a clearly psychic phenomenon, with psychic forces, psychic vibrations, the feeling is so strong, that subtly, most often, the body can hardly hold it. It is like a joy that is too great, that overflows on all sides, that you can't contain. Can't hold in yourself. It is like that. So you see these, not just television serials are now, but in Indian life, actually I can say for myself, when I did psychiatry, I would go back and look back and see how we didn't have this idea of going to a counselor or a psychiatrist. So, because we grew up in the culture of Ramayana, and so, you know, people would read it. It was so therapeutic. You just read through the story of Rama, you read the story of Sita, how they went through life, and it fills your heart with another kind of joy because you come in contact with the psychic essence. But if you don't have that, then you have psychiatrist and antidepressant. That's what I was saying, that I was very surprised when I had just joined and someone asked me, what do we do? I have shared this, but it's a very true experience. I said, I am a psychiatrist. So the person said, what does it mean? I said, I treat those who are psychologically disturbed. So the person says, but why? I said, why? This is what I am trained for. What do you mean? As you see, when people are in distress, when they are depressed, they come to me and I help them. So the person asked a queer question. Why do they come to you? I said, because I am trained. So I said, what is your feeling about it? What do you mean exactly? Maybe I am not getting you right. The person says, but they can go to mother. I said, that's a good statement. Because they cannot go to mother. Therefore they come. But it's so true. Actually it is so true. All loneliness gets healed, everything goes away, and we can experience both these states. When everything gets healed, the only problem is the physical being. That's why she is talking about physical being. It doesn't readily feel the touch, so it needs some very physical support, physical contact. But when you turn to the divine, it just completely vanishes. And it is so powerful that it gives you an emotion which is made up of so many things that you can hardly say what it is. These are emotions that are not vital. They are coming from the deep source. You don't feel alone because you're always in the company of the divine. You're happy actually. Actually, very frankly, if people are around you, you feel bitter, not too happy. You want to be alone. That's how it is said. Because the moment you are with someone, and the contrast is so much that on one side there is this beauty, this purity, this loveliness, and the moment humanity comes in, you have thodi khushi, thoda gham, kabhi tum, kabhi hum. You know, in Hindi they say that first we say tu hi tu. There is a song, no? Tu hi tu. Then it comes, main bhi hoon. Main hoon na. Then it comes, tu, main. This is how it takes place. Now it takes plenty of experiences for human beings to learn. Just to learn this. That this container cannot be filled and fulfilled without the divine. Always something says, maybe one last time, finally I'll find the person of my dreams. But because human nature is limited invariably. So this is where she is reminding, it is an emotion, but it is not a vital thing. So this is important because many people feel all emotion is something lower down. And there are discussions and letters of Sri Aurobindo about homo psychicus and homo intellectualis. So the letter is to Dilip Kumar Roy, or perhaps Nirodha, I may have forgotten the original person. So he says, sir, homo intellect, people have this strange idea that in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, emotions have no role, love is all about some. So there is a letter of Sri Aurobindo, he says, how do you know that homo psychicus will not be deeper spiritually than homo intellectualis who is still climbing up the ladder? Can go through both the paths. It's the typical Gyan Yogi and Bhakti Yogi. And Sri Krishna says very clearly that you can go through the path of Jnana, but it's a difficult path. You have to, nothing to hold on to, like the baby monkey. But if you go through Bhakti, it is, the journey itself is delightful. It is difficult. Everything is difficult. Nothing comes easy. But the journey is delightful because then the divine is holding you and taking you along. Vital emotions are of an altogether different nature. So now she has distinguished psychic emotion is rather impersonal. It's not based on what is happening to me. Somebody said this to me. I got hurt. Therefore, I am crying. It is something which you may witness. It could be in anyone. And you can see this so many actually throughout the day. Sometimes simply the morning when you actually hear the birds chirping or the trees, there is a psychic feeling around. If one knows how to feel it, it's so beautiful, as if, at least my impression is as if, the whole nature is happy because sun has come and it brings hope. Sun for them is like the divine presence, and the material nature is feeling so happy. And you can tune into that nature and feel so much better simply because you are able to identify with that. So it's everywhere spread in creation. But vital emotion is a product of the ego generally. It gets hurt when something is happening personally. they are very clear. Vital emotions are of an altogether different nature. They are very clear, very precise. You can express them very distinctly. They are violent. We all know that. You did this to me. Very clear expression. Psychic emotion, if you, I don't know why. My eyes are full. My heart is full. I remember one Bengali gentleman believed he is very intellectual. Actually, all who claim to be intellectual only believe they are intellectuals. If they meet a real intellectual, they will not know where to stand. But they believe that I am intellectual. So there was one person in Bangalore. And when relics of Sri Aurobindo came, he would say very nice poetry. And as always, you know, after all, Sri Aurobindo, Rabindranath Tagore, all they take in the same breath, which is a sign that you are not intellectual, because at least you should know the difference, if nothing else. Even a pure poetry, there is a difference. But anyways, so when Sri Aurobindo's relics came, suddenly this man started crying. For him, emotions all here. So I asked him, Dada, ki holo, what happened to you? He said, Janina, I don't understand. See, it's like you don't understand why this is happening to you. So I said, very nice. Now you will know. Because he used to wonder, why people are turning her into a goddess? She is a great lady. What is there? So then he started. In that time he had psychic tears. His heart opened to reading Savitri every day. Left his body beautifully. So vital emotions, and they are violent. They usually fill you with an intensity. You did this to me. Never argue if a person is saying this. Simply bow your head and say, Jai Kali Mata. What can you do? So, a restlessness, this is so true. Psychic emotion will end up making you very quiet, very deep. You'll feel like either sleeping off or just restful. But vital emotion kicks you very badly. Sometimes a great restlessness or sometimes a great satisfaction. That's how vital emotions are. Because when it is satisfied. And then the opposite comes with the same force. Sure enough. 2000%. Today the person who is happy with you, tomorrow will be the cause of not only their unhappiness, your unhappiness also. And it's a grace, if you really look at it, it's a grace. Because otherwise human beings will never turn towards truth. So it comes, it's a process. And then the opposite comes with the same force. And so people, many people think, we have mentioned this several times already, some people imagine they experience love only when it is like that. They don't know what love is. That vital intensity and, you know, stars in the eyes and God knows where all you see stars. Till one day you get a knock and start seeing stars all inside. This is how vital emotion is. But this is the process, because see, the fact is, unless you break open the emotional being, many people are scared. So they don't go through emotion at all. They are scared of love. So they are all in the mind. And they keep away, because this is dangerous. It's taught. It's the most dangerous thing in life is love. So everywhere you will see a taboo, a kind of. But you have to confront this. The point is, if you don't open this door, you can't reach the psychic. So when you open the door or touch it, all this sensitivity, emotional pain, all this is a process. But when it is torn through, then what happens? It's described very beautifully in Chandogya Upanishad. Bhidyante hridagranthi. Bhidyate hridagranthi. Chidyanti sarvasanshaya. So it's not somebody else breaking the heart. It is the divine who is doing it. With his nice bond. So that you... We think it is the person, but it's not the person. Because you have to go through that. And when it pierces finally, then you have the psychic effulgence. After that you can laugh, take joy in whatever. But some people shrink, unfortunately. They shrink away, they get closed, they get sheltered. But the right movement is to surrender to the divine. Some people imagine they experience love only when it is like that, like a great force, violent force, happy, and then crash lands into sad. This is what their life is. When love is in the vital, when it comes with all the movements of the vital, all this intensity, this violence, this precision, you see, this is how we are flooded with this in the typical cinema. Very rarely you will see the story of genuine psychic love between human beings. I remember one movie, I don't know, old, very old movie, people have seen it or not, Hindi movie of course, is Amar Prem. It's the love between a businessman and a courtesan. And she is having a child because, well, she is like today's, she's like a prostitute, but she has a child. But this man falls in love. He wants nothing. He doesn't want any physical relation. But there is a very deep kind of bond between the two. At least this man's side. So it's something very amazing. So there are stories like that, but they have, that's very rare. That's why Mother says, whenever in a story of human love, the psychic touch is added, it becomes very beautiful. She has said this. That is a story which human beings can play without really bringing in the divine element, because psychic is there. The only way it knows to love is to love truly. There is no other format in it. It knows to give itself. It wants nothing. So she says, all this intensity, this violence about the vital love, this precision, this glamour, this brightness, and when that is absent, they say, oh, this is not love. This is our problem. Because when there is a very deep, silent, quiet, we want expressions, and when they are missing, when there is an act of quiet giving, then we don't even recognize it as love. And I'll say, even in everyday life of human being, the mother's love for a child comes closest to that. Mothers don't send hearts and all this on WhatsApp. They don't need to say, my child, I love you so much. They don't need to say that. But it shows in everything they do. And if we see carefully, not with the biased eyes, then we'll see that there is a kind of deep love. Mother has said, Divine Mother has said, it comes closest. Of course, it may bring in expectations and all, but still it comes closest. And yet that is exactly how love gets distorted. Already it is no longer love. It is beginning to be passion. So passion comes from the lower level. It's basically the passion, sexual excesses, desire, they are coming up. But in human beings, they are taking the form of love. They are touching the emotional cord, but actually it is that. But true emotion comes from the depths, from the quiet depths of the psychic. And yet that is exactly how love gets distorted. Already it is no longer love. It is beginning to be passion, and this is an almost universal error among human beings. So now we are very clear what is psychic emotion, if I want to put it, psychic feeling, and what is vital love. In fact, they are not even close cousins if you really look at it. We just use the name and wear the mask. Some people are full of a very pure, very high, very selfless psychic love. And yet they know nothing about it and think they are cold, dry and without love, because this admixture of vital vibration is absent. In fact, there are people who completely dissociate from the vital. They don't like the vital admixture. And especially in women, one can find it. But men are different category altogether, but in women sometimes one can find this very pure love without this mixture, and the lesser the mixture, the better it is. For them, love begins and ends with this vibration, which they feel inside, deep within. And as it is something highly unstable, which has movements and reactions and violences of all kinds, in depression as in satisfaction, love is something very ephemeral for these people. They have minutes of love in their lives. Because they are all the time in the highs and lows, and the true love, the deep love is very rare. We have some classical stories like that. I mean, Josephine loved Napoleon, like even Napoleon. Though Napoleon went around, did whatever he did, but he knew that without Josephine, his life is null and void. There was this feeling. Quiet. That's why many people find very difficult to understand. Radha's love is the acme. Radha never married Krishna, never desired to marry Krishna, never wanted. Kabhi kabhi mobile pe baat kar liya karo. Because Radha was one with Krishna. Only once she expresses something. Very touching story. That at the end, towards when she is very old, as the story goes, she goes and meets Krishna. Krishna is in Dwarka. She is old, so she wants, you know. So she goes and meets Krishna, and Krishna gives her a nice palace that you live here. But Radha has lived very differently. Her love for Krishna is very different. Now Krishna is the king. So he has to do things in a kingly way. So one day she says, it's okay, I will find my life. But I'll call you. When I call you once, when I'm leaving the body, you must come. Krishna promises I'll come. So she lives in a small little hamlet somewhere nearby. And she is happy with Krishna in her own inner state. And then when the call comes, when she is going to leave the body, Sri Krishna goes there. So he knows, his eyes are filled up, his heart is filled. Because here is a woman who sacrificed, without calling it a sacrifice actually. That's the purity of her love, asking nothing, absolutely nothing. And then she asks him once, only once. Radha has asked something from Krishna. All these, not these stories which they show on television nowadays. Purely vital love. They have nothing to do with Radha and Krishna. Nothing, even from the Bhagavat, nothing. They are pure fabrication, imagination of human, or perversion of human intelligence. They are showing all this on Radha Krishna se kahe, Radha kaise na jale. There was all this. In fact, Radha was never jealous. That's how there is an aphorism of Sri Aurobindo, where he says, Krishna loves Chandrabali, why shouldn't I love her too? That's Radha's state. Radha is never jealous, even for one moment, that everybody loves Krishna, I too love, you know, Krishna loves them, he should love me exclusively. Absolutely nothing. That's something which human consciousness, it's only one can imagine or conceive, that kind of love of Radha. So only once she asks Krishna, when she is withdrawing, she decided to withdraw. What does she ask? What can she ask at that point of time? She says, I want you to play your flute for me once as I depart. So that is the last flute that Krishna plays. And she is in that delight. She goes back to that moment. Because Krishna is born for, you know, she is an avatar. How can he? So he plays the flute, and then Radha slowly departs. And as the story goes, Sri Krishna at that point of time, when Radha left her body, he broke the flute. Never ever to play it again. It's a very, very deep, touching story of what love can be. And again, I would add, I am so proud to be born in a land where such stories have fed us. They are ideals. I mean, it's not about love with money and all this. It's a great ideal. To love someone like that is itself divine. And that's why mother said, but mother said Radha continues to live because she could do this. She could do this when she saw Sri Aurobindo. She asked nothing, she gave everything. In mother's life, you see that. And she, when she is to go, she goes and you read the prayer that mother writes on 1st of, I think, March. She left on 22nd February 1915. After that, her first prayer. Her solitude. She had left a psychic being here. Much later, she would say, if only Sri Aurobindo said once, you stay, I would have stayed. What a surrender. He didn't say anything. He knew best. He didn't say, Susi didn't say, you know, I wish I could stay. Can I stay? Will you tell me to? What a surrender. She just went. And she goes through a very, very difficult time after that. She almost fell on deathbed. And much later, she would once again experience all the pains. Because what she was doing was, she was taking all the pain of horrors of the First World War people. And she started developing all those nerve pains all through her body. But would silently bear. And she never wrote to Sri Aurobindo, I want to come, can I come? They were in communication, letters those days, and inner communication, whatever. There are letters of mother to Sri Aurobindo and Sri Aurobindo to the mother, very few of them. But then, suddenly, destiny changed. That's how her husband said, let's go to Pondicherry. And before that, she saw the vision of the Supreme. So this is the path they have shown of what love can be, should be, must be. So she says, what we normally call love is something very unstable. Movements and reactions and violences of all kinds, in depression as in satisfaction. In fact, after a while you feel very, you can develop a very strong, don't use the word love, because it's not love. You know, the person may say, but you know it is not love. It is something else. Dry and without, so for them love begins and ends with this vibration. In depression as in satisfaction, love is something very ephemeral for these people. There are minutes of love in their lives. Though they may say, I love, I love, I love. Minutes of love. It may last a few hours and then it becomes dull and flat again. And they imagine that love has deserted them. That's why Sri Aurobindo writes in Savitri, when he describes love, that a soul made ready through a thousand years is the living mold of a supreme descent. Love is the far transcendence angel here. It's very rare. Rarer the cup, he speaks of love as rare a soul that can hold God's birth. Rare is the cup fit for love's nectar wine. As rare a soul that can hold God's birth. A soul made ready through a thousand lives, a thousand years, is the living mold of a supreme descent. This is the journey. As I said, some people are quite beyond that. They have been able to control it in such a way that it does not get mixed up with anything else. They have in themselves this psychic love. Now she is describing more clearly. What is this psychic love? Is there some other marker apart from that feeling inside and impersonal? What is the sign that there is truly a psychic element in love? It may be mixed, but what is the pure sign? She says, psychic love which is full of self-forgetfulness. You never say what you have done to me. What you have done to me is not important. Actually, in yoga, it's only about that. What others have done to you is irrelevant. What you are doing is important. Whole focus in yoga is about that. Anyways, what you are doing, how your relation with the divine, what others are doing. I went for making a key. So there was a man who was standing and making keys, duplicate keys. So he made something which didn't work. So the natural response of people is, oh, see, you get easily cheated. I said, no, I didn't get cheated at all. Then why? See, it doesn't work. You paid so much money also. I said, no, see, I was looking at him standing in sunlight. Heat, he's making all this. I was feeling so kind. Such kindness. Had he asked me anything, I would have just given. Because he is sweating in that heat. Okay, he didn't do a good job. It's okay. He will go home and probably he will be able to buy something for his child. So, it's not about what he is doing. Your feeling for him is important. If in my feeling I bring in egoism, all those practical considerations, he has cheated me, he has fooled me, then I am losing my own inner life. But if from my side, what he does is his problem, not my problem. And that's true of everyone. What you are doing is the only thing which is your problem. We are the problem and we are the solution. Atme vatmano bandhu, atmane vripuratmana. What others do is their problem. They carry this. This is a very nice saying we all grew up with, I'm sure. You are responsible only for your karma. I grew up with this thought in childhood. Jo dusra kar raha hai, uska samasya hai. So it taught me one lesson. The only thing that is relevant is what I am doing. What others are doing is not my problem. I mean, not in that sense that what they are doing to me, whether they are, that's not my problem. My problem is how I am responding and reacting. So there I should be clear. So what is psychic love? Now she is explaining to us beautifully. So this is worth always to practice. Psychic love, actually you can't practice it because as long as man is in the vital, it cannot be possible. It won't work out. You have to touch the psychic, then it becomes natural. So what is the sign of psychic love? Self-forgetfulness. As I said, mothers come close to it. They do it, they don't calculate, they don't remember. Self-forgetfulness. Of self-giving. Giving without calculation. Not what I will get out of you. Just a giving. Oh, there's something so beautiful. Compassion. Automatically, what we call as forgive. Forgiveness is a very low level thing, frankly. Forgiveness gives you a feeling of superiority. But compassion does the same thing without feeling of superiority. It feels human nature is like this. Human beings are like this. As Shobindu says, selfishness and meanness are the only sins I find difficult to pardon. Then he says, but they are still so universal that they too must be pardoned. Selfishness and meanness are the only sins. And courage and love are the only virtues. But love, what Shobindu calls love, is very different. Teardrop in the eyes of the divine. He and Mrinalini Devi never had what can be called as a so-called married life. Forget about happy married life. And yet, for many years, they lived away. They would not sleep together. There's a famous story even when he was released from Alipur jail. And when Mrinalini Devi, she is coming and she dies on the way. And when the news comes to Sri Aurobindo, Nalida has immortalized it in one of his essays, teardrop in the eyes of the divine. First time they saw a teardrop in his eyes. He didn't say anything. And what he writes in a telegram, you can see that kind of love. Please send me, if you have some books of Mrinalini where she has signed, I don't have anything of hers with me. Look at where she has signed, means something of her personal touch is there. Can you send me that? And that love, how did it take care of her? Afterwards, in the next life, he never abandoned her. So people don't understand because they just look at it very superficially. So they sometimes ask, recently someone asked the question, no? What about Mrinalini Devi? I said, one would be thrice blessed. It must be a great blessing to be wedded to Sri Aurobindo. Even if for a moment it would be a blessing. I was reminded of Champak Lalji's story where when mother is very physically ill. Of course, he used to take everybody's. And Champaklalji says, "Mother, doctor is recommending chicken soup." "No, no, 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 I don't want chicken soup." And Champaklalji says, "Mother, if I was the chicken, I would like to be sacrificed immediately for you." People don't realize to be wedded to the Lord, even for a moment, what it means. It's a clear sign that the psychic vision is very different from how the surface being looks at it. And people ask, "What about Milani Devi?" They don't understand what it means just to be wedded to Sri Aurobindo. Forget about everything else. What his love is and how it expresses is beyond our comprehension. But so second thing is third is compassion, self-forgetfulness, self-giving, compassion, generosity. Psychic is always full of generosity. It doesn't hold grouse. It doesn't hold, "I'm cross with you. I'll remain cross. You have done this to me." All this is gone. That's not a psychic feeling. Actually, there's very low and ugly. Vindictiveness, hate is very dark. It's like, what to say? And then she speaks of the fifth thing, nobility of life, and is a great power of identification. You understand the other person's pain, not your own. Great power of nobility of life. There have been some films which have brought this touch. I'm forgetting the movie, I don't know. Was it Jab We Met, one of the famous movies where runaway, like, you know, runaway bride, and this fellow is helping her to find the man whom she is, yes, apparently married or whatever. And he is doing it very selflessly. He feels for her but doesn't express this. Finally, he brings her back and everything. And then he all through he feels but never expresses. And he sets her free and then she is going. And suddenly she realizes that no, she actually loves this man. He is the one worth loving. And then she runs back and tells him, you know, whatever she has to say. It's a very beautiful film. There are vital emotions, but something touched on the psychic. There have been movies like that, which are very beautiful, supremely beautiful, because they bring in some element which is not usually found. So it is full of self-forgetfulness, self-giving, compassion, generosity, nobility of life. Nobility of life is you'll never stoop down just to either satisfy yourself or satisfy the lower need. You are in that state. Nobility of life and is a great power of identification, where you understand through identification the pain and suffering that other person is going through. So most of these people, now these people are those living in the vital, think they are cold or indifferent. They are very nice people, you see, but they do not love. And sometimes they themselves do not know. People will feel they are very nice people, but they think they don't have love, because love means dancing around the tree, jumping, writing very nice. They think they do not love, but they are very nice people. But she reminds that, and even these people may not know about it. I have known people who thought they had no love because they didn't have this vital vibration. I also know some people who are like that. Very, very few. Who think they don't love. But this is a very deep love. Because it doesn't get expressed in any of these outer expressions. But there is another kind of emotion which is of an infinitely higher order and doesn't express itself in the same way. Now she's talking of something else, third. So first is the vital being and the psychic. Now she's speaking of something much higher, which has just as much intensity, but an intensity that is under control, contained, condensed, concentrated, and is an extraordinary dynamic power. That's, he's talking of not psychic love, but the divine love. That is Kali. Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, that kind of love, which is not just the, she is distinguished between psychic love and vital love. Now she is hinting at a still greater love, which is very intense. Sri Aurobindo, some of the letters to Dilip, some of his passing remarks, how is literally almost requesting Dilip Kumar Roy, I have cherished you as a friend and a brother, because he used to get these hookups of going away. Mother, how she kept the room 14 years after he left, that he may come, even though he went against her, went against everything, still she would love. And she has said at one place, if I have seen somebody even for a moment, I remember for all lives he is finished. Even those who have revolted and gone away, it is there in the writing on I am with you. Even those who have revolted and gone away, I hold myself responsible for their lives. Who can love like this? I hold myself responsible for their lives. So that's the love she is speaking of, but it is full of control. It will not express itself through the usual emotional way, but it's a very intense, powerful love. It is under control, contained, condensed, concentrated, and is an extraordinary dynamic power. That's what we see when Sri Aurobindo physically withdrew. He embraced Champak Lal ji. This gesture was never seen. He embraced him, and that's how Champak Lal ji immortalized it in his painting just before he physically withdrew. True love can achieve extraordinary things, but it is rare. It can change a person, completely shift the whole basis of existence. But true love. All kinds of miracles can be done out of love for the person one loves. Not for everyone, but for the people or the person one loves. I mean, there are stories of people losing their life to see the other person live. Stories where they prayed and sacrificed their own life for the other person. The other person came out of death and they themselves entered. But it has to be a love free from all vital mixture. An absolutely pure and selfless love which demands nothing in return, which expects nothing in return. We may not demand, but expectation may be there. So not only it demands nothing in return, it expects nothing in return. So we'll read this passage and we'll stop with that. True love can achieve extraordinary things, but it is rare. All kinds of miracles can be done out of love for the person one loves. Not for everyone, but for the people or the person one loves. But it has to be a love free from all vital mixture, an absolutely pure and selfless love which demands nothing in return, which expects nothing in return. Okay, may this love blossom in all of us. Jai Ma.